So I want you to know that if you'll put your hand over your heart, say, Father. I know I've got flowers in there. If they're in bud form, or seed form, whatever level, let your living water right now bring them to full blossom for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Pastor?
Yeah.
9 is the number of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that. 9 is the number of the fruits of the Spirit. And so that's kind of neat, right? I want to take you on a short journey to St. Peter, chapter 1. It's in 1 Peter. Chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 8. In the NIV, it speaks of suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insults, but with blessings. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's the part I want you to see. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. How did you become righteous? By faith. Exactly. It's not by works. It's not by behavioral adjustments. It is by faith. And his ears are attentive to their prayer. So he hears you. Whether you're coming from a moment of despair or a moment of joy, every prayer is heard. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart the anointing as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, don't beat them up with the word. Don't beat them up with the law. They've already had that. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. In other words, if you start telling someone that's full of slander to stop it, what are you going to get?
More slander.
Thank you. 17. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. Meaning Christ is the one that was righteous. He took your place for us being unrighteous. To bring you to God. If he did this to bring me to God, was he expecting me to be cleaned up overnight?
No.
Thank you. So it's by faith that you became righteous. And you trust in what Jesus did for you. And it says he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. How did he get to be alive by the Spirit without resurrection? Couldn't be done, could it? Had to have a resurrection. What's the next happening to you and me? A resurrection. A coming out of the old and coming to new life. 19. Through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. Why would he put that in there?
God didn't forget about them?
Yes! Thank you! Did Noah forget about them? Who closed the door to the ark?
God.
Ah! So even if he had closed the door to the ark and they all perished and they went into a prison spiritually in their spirit, their bodies died, God sends Jesus over there to preach to them. Why? Did you ever give up on anybody? Did you ever find somebody in your life that was so miserable that you just wanted to just throw them away? Put them in prison, throw away the key? Come on, you guys got to be human a little bit. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. How many had a few?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. But the bottom line is that I'm trying to show you that, you know, Noah, when he was building that ark, was warning them over and over, and it took 100 years, by the way, so that should give you an example of how long it takes to get through to somebody. And still, the Lord would send his son to preach to them. What does that say to his compassion and his grace? What does it say about those that you and I have given up on? Maybe we should find a little grace for them? A little bit more compassion, maybe? Maybe realizing that if our God sent his son to wake up these rebellious people, these perverted people, that he didn't give up on them? Even though, if you read the Old Covenant, looks like they're gone. They're never going to be having hope of a Savior or a healer. So, you know, what I believe God is trying to say to us is awaken to the truth. What you and I think is hopeless, it's not that way at all. Watch. While the ark was being built, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. In this water symbolized baptism. That now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo. You and I are saved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So who's got full control? Yeah! And that's the corner we're going to touch a little bit about. Okay? I'm going to give you a few scriptures that I pray will give you a little bit more to understand. John 17, verse 11, it says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them with the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Luke 6, 5. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, meaning he's overseeing everything that happens, even on the day of rest. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, Acts 2:36. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and the Anointed One. So, our concept of our Savior Jesus being maybe single-minded sometimes, because we all have a tendency to see him, and for me, it was as a baby for a long, long time. In my Catholic background, I saw Jesus in this position. That's all I saw. Because I remembered the creche every Christmas. That was my focus. A lot of the pictures of Mary holding Jesus were also bringing her as the protectress of him. And that very first time that the Holy Spirit pushed my buttons, I remember, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit said to me, Jesus isn't a baby anymore. Amen. And I thought, oh my God. So he was either in this position, as a child, totally unable to function, or on the cross, totally dead as a body. Those were the two identities that I had for him. Never did I see him as Lord and King and sovereign over all hell and over all of the angels in heaven and over all the earth and over everything that was created. What a mind adjustment that day. I remember walking out of church, tears are rolling out of my eyes, and I've got a full-statured man, such as the picture that you see there. Fully grown, alive, and powerful. Full of authority and power and strength and vitality. Not as a dead corpse or a baby helpless in the arms of his mother. Not that he didn't go through all of those things, but for me, the impact had to come by the Holy Ghost. I was 37 years old when that happened. Now, how many of you have got some saints in progress? They're still looking to the Lord, but not understanding him. What I'm trying to give you is hope that God will get through to each and every one on his own timing. If he could take care of those that rejected Moses, that rejected Noah, that rejected Jesus, he can reject whomever, but he won't forget them. He is sovereign. Amen?
Amen.
One more. His preeminence, John chapter 3, 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. John 13, 13 and Acts 2, 36 confirm it. Romans 14, 9 says, for this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. So where are you? Dead or alive? He's still Lord. whether they, those that you hold in your heart, are dead or alive, he is still Lord over them. I'm trying to stretch you a little bit today. I'm trying to let you see that on the day appointed, he'll push whatever button he pushed to get me to wake up when I was 37, and he'll do whatever he has to do to wake you and me up for the next level of his revelation. Is he all done revealing himself? No. How many have had a new experience this week that they've never had before? Put your hand up. Thank you. He's not done yet. Is he? So close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, I'm learning.
I'm learning.
That my mindset,
about Christ,
needs to be released,
to the Holy Spirit.
He's the revelator. He's the one that's going to awaken me. In 2016. About his plan for my life.
His righteous plan for those I've hurt.
Even those who have hurt me.
Because he knows how to heal them.
And he knows how to heal me.
I promise you, Lord.
To have ears to hear.
To have eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
How much real love you have for me.
Because it's between me.
And my Savior.
My Redeemer.
And my Healer.
And awesome it is
to know he's healing me.